table and take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. As I said, an empty celebration. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity as we look into your word this morning. I pray, Father, as we look to you, and we thank you for this day where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, in the hearts of your people that every day would be Resurrection Day. I pray, Father, this morning that you would be lifted up and glorified, that you would give me the very words to preach this morning, that this message is from you and not from me, that I would not get in the way of it going out and touching the hearts of the people and changing them for the better. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to each one of us personally this morning and will not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Truly, the greatest symbol of new life is found in the empty tomb. The greatest symbol of new life is found in the empty tomb. Praise the Lord for the empty tomb. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28, 5 through 7, it says, And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Over in Romans chapter 8, in verse 11, Romans 8:11, it says, But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now I want to say, imagination is kind of a wonderful thing, isn't it? Imagination, I mean, we can imagine some things, but it's kind of wonderful at times. We can have a fairy that pays money for teeth, right? We can have what we would call a fat man who brings presents, right? This is imagination. We can have a bunny who lays eggs, right? That's a good trick, right? But imagination allows us to do that, but all of these things are empty celebration. Every last one of those is just an empty celebration. There's nothing to it. There's nothing there. There's nothing real about it. Sorry if I've burst your bubble, but there's nothing real about it. You don't need a bunny or some eggs to excite us about today. A day when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We don't need any of those things to do that. This event stands on its own, all alone. It doesn't need anything to prop it up. It stands alone. Our empty celebration is found in the empty tomb. Thank God for an empty tomb. We have three empty promises that we can celebrate today. Three empty promises. The first one is an empty life. In Philippians 2:7 it says, But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus showed us the way to be full is to be empty. The way to be full is to be empty. Real fulfillment comes when we are empty of our own desires and make Jesus our heart's desire. Do you know? I get this all the time. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and God is not giving me my heart's desires. There's probably a problem. And it's not on God's part. Our desires will be His desires when we allow Him to have His throne on our hearts. Our desires will be His desires, and then He will give us the desires of our heart. We want the desires of our heart without allowing Him to have His rightful place in our heart. Jesus' last words before His death, "It is finished." It is finished. So what did that mean? It meant fulfillment. It meant fulfillment. That everything that needed to be done was done. There was nothing left to be done that needed to be done. He looked through eternity past to eternity future and He said, "It is finished." Meaning it's all done. It's complete. There's nothing left to do. That Jesus has literally emptied Himself of everything that He had to offer to me and to you that we might live life abundantly. Isn't that great? In Jesus, we can have an abundant life. Yeah. We can live the victorious Christian life in Jesus Christ. Instead of living the defeated life. We can live victoriously in Christ Jesus because He did everything. It's finished. It's finished. He poured it all out. He poured it all out that it might be found within us. He gave His all for us. For us. When you watch Him live, you know that His life was consumed for humanity. You and me. You and me. He emptied Himself of all other cares. He came with one purpose. He came to die. So He could live again. So we could have eternal life. That's why He came. I can't even imagine it. I can't imagine, and I know I've said this before, but I can't imagine Jesus being in heaven's glory and saying, "I'm going to go from heaven's glory, I'm going to empty Myself, I'm going to take on the form of man, and even though they despise Me and they reject Me, I'm still going to die for them that they could have eternal life, so they can be reconciled to God the Father." Thinking if I knew all that, I'd say, it's not worth it. Right? These people aren't worth it. They don't care. They reject Me. Even when they've accepted the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, they still aren't going to live for Me. Maybe it's not worth it. But note, that didn't enter His mind. He said, "No, I am going to go and I'm going to die so that they can live forever." Praise the Lord. We should be excited that He wants us to live forever. He stepped into humanity at its worst, and He brought His very best. Emptied Himself of all life to fill ours with His. If you're not experiencing God's presence in your life today, we definitely need to talk. I can show you how you can. How you can. But maybe it's because you're not empty enough. Think about that. Maybe you're not empty of yourself enough to have enough room for Jesus to come in and fill you. You know, if I take this glass, it's pretty full already, but if I took this other glass and I filled this up, at some point it's going to be too full, isn't it? And what's going to happen to the water? I better have it over one of these plants, because it's going to just go. If we are so full of ourselves, there's no room for Jesus. How is he going to live in us? Not going to be able to, is he? So we need to empty ourselves. And maybe we're not experiencing the presence of God because we're too full of ourselves. We need to empty ourselves. We serve a Lord that specializes in filling emptiness. He specializes in it. In creation, he flung the universe out into an expansive emptiness. Right? Then he hung the stars upon nothing. He turned nothing into something and then hung it on nothing. He created this whole thing. In John chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, and Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down. And likewise, of the fishes as much as they would. He filled over 5,000 empty stomachs with very little. Very little. Four plans were offered that day. Four plans to solve this problem were offered that day. The first one, the disciples said, "We'll just get rid of the problem, send them all away." Right? Jesus said, "You can't do that. They're running on empty. We can't send people away that are running on empty." Said Philip's idea, "We'll just raise money," right? 200 days wages. How are you going to do 200 days wages when they need to eat right now? And he says, and that wouldn't even fill them enough. Money is not the solution to every problem. It's not. You don't believe it? Watch the government at work. They're throwing money out left and right. It's not the solution to the problem. What has it fixed? Has anybody seen it fix anything? I've seen nothing fixed. It's not the answer to the problem. I'll tell you, it can't buy everything. It can buy a house, but not a home. It can buy a bed, but not a good night's sleep. It can buy medicine, but it can't buy health. It can buy a beautiful church building, but it cannot buy the power of God. It can't do it. Andrew found a little boy with a lunch, and he said, "It's not much, but it's at least a start, right?" And Jesus had the solution, the real solution. He took this little boy's lunch, demonstrated that little is much when God is in it. In all four Gospels, Jesus gave thanks prior to breaking the bread, showing the multitudes that only God can fill their emptiness. Only God. We serve a Lord that specializes in filling emptiness. In John chapter 2, he filled some empty pots, empty wash pots, at a wedding feast, a village event that the whole city came out and participated in back in those days. It was a festive mood until the unthinkable happened. The host ran out of wine. Ran out of wine. The people began to scurry about. whispering about the problem. And the whole crowd knew, and the host was embarrassed. The Lord let him scramble around for a while. Before bringing a solution, he let them scramble around for a little while. Right? Let's make sure they know that without me, they can do nothing. Right? Let them scurry around a bit. He allowed them to feel their emptiness, their inadequacy. He waited until they ran out of options, and then he took the empty water pots, filled them with water, and then worked a miracle. All the joy that the world has to offer is temporary. It's temporary. It always runs out. It always results in a void being left. Emptiness. Emptiness. But the joy of the Lord is ever new and satisfying. Always there. The world offers its very best at the first. Till you get hooked, and then it's all downhill from there. It's the way it works. The best day that you will ever have in sin is the first day. It's all downhill from there. Yeah, the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Yeah. That first day, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Don't last long. Proverbs 14:13 says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. And Proverbs 20:17 says, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. But Jesus gives a miraculous joy that will never end. That will never end. It's not just something fleeting. He gives us his best from the very start. From the very start, we've got the best. Somehow, he gives us the very best. And he miraculously makes that joy grow and get even better. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. It's just amazing to spend time with him. Jesus took these water pots that were used for external cleaning back then and made them useful for something internal, something deeper and more satisfying. He created something fulfilling, and he used emptiness to do it. We serve a Lord that specializes in filling emptiness. So this morning, are you running on empty? Only you can answer that. Are you running on empty? If you are not experiencing the intimacy with Christ on a daily basis, it may be that you need to empty yourself. It could be that you're just not empty enough. Some people say, well, I feel empty. Well, maybe you're not empty enough. Make room for Jesus. Make room for Jesus. Make him a priority. Make Jesus a priority. We need to be emptied of sin. As I said already, God cannot fill a vessel that has no room left in it. There's no place for it to go. It's an impossibility if we harbor sin in our lives. It There's no room for Jesus. We are not sinless. Christians are not sinless. Trust me, all you have to do is watch them. They're not sinless, right? But we should sin less. It's all about desire. It's all about desire. What is our desire? And true repentance is not perfection, but it's turning from sin and doing our best to head towards God. Folks, we will not be perfect here on this earth. That's not going to happen. But we should do our best, our very best, to sin less. But it's going to take emptying ourselves. We will never find intimacy with Christ until we stop bowing down to the shrine of self. We need to be emptied of substitutes. Substitutes. We often try to substitute service for surrender, or work for worship. But Martha becomes Mary when she drops her to-do list and falls at the feet of Jesus. How many times have I said, quit doing Christianity and just be a Christian, right? Just be a Christian. It's amazing how everything else falls into place if we'll just do that. Just live our life for Jesus Christ. Serving is good and right, but do not let you get so busy doing things for Christ that you neglect spending time with Christ. And we can get so busy doing that we've got no room for Christ at all. It's amazing. We can get so busy, so wrapped up, but these things are important. Who are they important to? I can tell you this last week, I drove in here. I thought, I'm going to spend some time outside pulling some weeds. This place is looking like it's going downhill. We need to get some weeds pulled. And some other things happened. I didn't get weed one pulled. But I got some things that were important done. I got to serve the Savior, allowing Him to have room in my life. It's not because I'm some spectacular genius or anything. No, it's because I just allowed Jesus to have room in my life. I pulled in today, and guess what? I saw that the weeds that I was going to take care of are gone. Praise the Lord! Thank God. But we just need to let God have some time in our lives. Let's accept no other substitutes for the filling of the Spirit. Let's not fill ourselves with drugs and food and movies and music and relationships. Let's just fill ourselves with Christ. Christ. Empty yourself out on this altar. Empty the sin, the self, and all substitutes. As we celebrate this Resurrection Sunday, we have the promise of an empty life. The promise of an empty life. Jesus is our example, and we should follow in those footsteps also. He emptied Himself. We should empty ourselves. And then we also have an empty cross. An empty cross. Never have appreciated the crucifix hanging on the wall or in a hospital or whatever. I look at, Jesus isn't there anymore. He's not there anymore. He's not in the tomb. He's not on the cross. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high, making intercession for you and I. And I might say, we keep Him very busy. The cross is empty, yet it's full of God's promises. The empty cross tells me that I can be forgiven of all my sin. The cross was a cruel place of death. Jesus was beaten, he was broken, and he was bruised. Took all of that on himself. All of that on himself. That we might not have to. Philippians 2:6 says, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God?" Jesus showed that the way up is down. When I could not get to where he was, he came to me. He came down to my level when I could not get up to his. He met me where I was. He met you where you were. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to meet people where they are. And as I said earlier, he'll do the cleaning up. The empty cross tells me that I'm free from my past. And I have a great life in and through Jesus. It is the place where he died, but today it is empty. Empty. Empty of Jesus' body, but full of God's promises. Full of hope for you and for me. Full of hope. The promise of the empty cross is that you and I stand forgiven. Forgiven. Because on that cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. And then last but not least, we have the empty tomb. Philippians 2, verses 8 and 9. "Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Jesus showed us that the way to live is to die. And Paul say, "I die daily." You have to die to self daily so that Jesus can live. Without the empty tomb, there is no Savior. No salvation, no hope, nothing is sure. The empty tomb is a fact that God accepted the penalty, the payment for the penalty of sin that Jesus paid. The empty tomb says God accepted. God accepted that. The empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus and the promise to every one of us that we too will be raised to eternal life. To those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, death has lost its sting. Death is, it's no longer something to be feared. We don't have to fear death. I've said many times, death for the Christian, the born-again Christian, is a change of locations. People ask me, "What are you going to do when you die?" I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever. This house that I live in right now will perish. But I'm going to live forever. Makes us not sound so old now, doesn't it? We're going to live forever. What fear is then when we have the promise that one day we will live forever with him in heaven? Could be fearful about that. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day I see him face to face. When I can be flat on my face, worshiping him. After we get all that out of the way, I'd like to ask him a few things that I'm not quite totally sure on. So I can be sure. The world gives us promises full of emptiness. Right? Promises full of emptiness. But God gives us emptiness full of promises. I got news for you. God's promises will always be fulfilled. An empty tomb full of promises for all who would be God's children. There's some that will choose not to. And that's their choice. God gave us a free will. We all have the opportunity to choose. We can choose Christ, or we can stay on the path that we were born into. The choice is ours. We get to choose eternal life or eternal death. Eternal life is home with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Eternal death ends up in what the Bible calls the lake of fire, which never burns out. And those souls never perish in torments for all eternity. Seems like a pretty simple choice, doesn't it? Still, people reject it. So not just today, but every day, let's empty ourselves and allow Jesus to fill us. Because when we're full of Jesus, that's all we need. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful again for your word. We're thankful that Jesus left heaven's glory, knowing full well that he came to die. Knowing full well that man would reject him, that they would crucify him, that they would spit on him, that they would beat him, that they would put a crown of thorns upon his head, they would mock him. And still, he loved mankind so much that he was willing to do that. Thank you, Father, that we have an empty cross, that we have an empty tomb, but that they're full of your promises. Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray today would be that day. Father, for Christians, if we haven't emptied ourselves and allowed Jesus to fill us, I pray we would do that today, that you would be glorified. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish in this time of invitation. And we'll give you all the glory and honor and praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays this morning. If God spoke to you this morning, you need to come and get saved, please do that. If God spoke to you this morning and you are saved, but you haven't emptied yourself, or maybe you emptied part of yourself, but not all of yourself, you can come and get that taken care of too. So as the piano plays this morning, if you need to come, you come.